Oh, the Belébala. It comes to my mind my childhood. I have made a habit instead of sucking the thumb, I was doing this on my belly button. So that's what comes to my mind.
When I think about my navel, the navel, and the cliche navel gazing, it seems to me that because I am a writer and because I shy away from cliches, trying to get underneath that, the navel was the center of the human universe. And therefore, if you were staring at your navel, you were staring at the center of yourself and also the center of the world. But the other thing that's interesting is that that is the scar that you claim as a fallen creature. You know, Adam and Eve don't have navels. They weren't born of woman. And it's only when they sinned, and then God told them they had to create people themselves and suffer for it, that children got born with navels because they came out of women. So what you were doing when you were staring at your navel was staring at the scar of your sin. And therefore, navel gazing became a kind of moral requirement to know that you were sexual and therefore mortal and therefore going to die. So it got very heavy.
You know, I think navel gazing came, for me, navel gazing kind of was a pejorative term that came into the United States in the 20s. It was a kind of a condescension from Westerners towards Easterners when they became aware of meditation, you know, either from Buddhism or from the Indians. And I think that when they saw these people just basically sitting there and not doing anything, I think this whole concept of navel gazing, the way I remember it, came and it had kind of a negative connotation that they really aren't doing anything, wasting time, not producing anything. And you're supposed to be producing something. So that's how I think of it, and that's my context for it.
Navel gazing is a new term to me, but I think it's about being maybe introspective to a flaw, to the point of almost being narcissistic about it, and expressing yourself for the sake of throwing yourself at the world rather than actually contributing to it.
Introspection for any artist is essential, and it's also very guilt-making because it's the time when you're doing absolutely nothing. Jack Shadbolt, the fine painter in Vancouver, used to call it creative loafing. And that is when you really open yourself up, not simply to the world, but to yourself, and let flow in or flow out whatever is there, so that then the critical intelligence can start to operate. But unless you have the raw material that is produced by navel gazing, you have nothing to say. I myself think of it as, of course, the center of what being an artist is. And I think of the complexity of introspection as partly contemplating one's sexuality and one's mortality, partly contemplating one's individuality, partly contemplating what we share, each of us, with all others. And so it's probably the chief activity of my life.
In my approach to life, whether I look outside or look inward, I always look outward. I never look inward if I can help it. Same old answers are there, you know, there's nothing new going on. That's why I like to travel, because you go to a new place and all your senses are just totally absorbed with everything new. It's like taking drugs, you know? That's why I like drugs too, or at least when I used to take them, it was great. You know, years ago, I really distrusted my intuition, and I thought I had to reflect on everything, and I had to think about things. And I really found out that that was really not healthy at all, and that if I just went with my, you know, instincts and my intuition, that that would lead me in a much healthier way. So that's really why I don't reflect a whole lot anymore, because I don't think it really did anything good for me. I used to self-reflect
on myself by sitting quietly in meditation and listening to whatever is happening, like whatever inner voices, inner things that comes in, comes out. And then after a while, I decided not to do that anymore because I realized whatever is outside in my life is a self-reflection. Every person I meet is a reflection of me. Everything they say is a reflection of me. Every single tree or animal or car or whatever. And like meditation state becomes 24 on 24. I didn't really need to take that time to be on my own and sitting quiet still. If you are introspective and express a lot about yourself or tell a story about yourself that actually contributes something to other people or becomes relevant to other people, then I think that's fantastic, as opposed to just digging up every piece of dirt on yourself and throwing it out there because you don't know how to keep it in, or else you just refuse to keep it in, or you just are obsessed with yourself and that's all you know how to talk about, then that's a problem, and that's just, it's just something I personally don't want to hear other people do.
Of course, in the academic, again, it is to get away from the self. You're taught never to use I in an essay. And, of course, it is your own opinion, so it's a total phony. But it's the whole worship of the objective that comes out of the fantasy fiction of science. You know, that you don't interfere with the experiment. You just stand aside and, like God, watch it happen. And then you report it as if you weren't there. Of course, all present physics say the experimenter changes the experiment. There isn't any way you can have an objective response, and so better to take responsibility for the fact that you're there and that it's you talking.
Whenever you do a change, you will definitely find the resistance from the outside, of course, but the outside is, as I said, is a reflection of the inside. So there was definitely a resistance, and you have to work through it if you want to continue on it. Otherwise, you go back to where you were.
Our society suffers from lack of navel gazers. We are too much a people of doing things and too little a people of being thoughtful about what we do. And it seems to me that the role of the artist is undermined, undervalued, except for the few stars, when all of us should be, in our natures, artists. We are each of us born absolutely as individuals. Nobody else is ever going to be who you are again. We've won this incredible lottery of being born out of all those sperms and eggs that never make it. And we'll never come again, any of us. And therefore, we have a job to do, to gaze at our navels and know who we are and show who we are by whatever way we have to express ourselves.